mention or try and make a few remarks from, you will find in the 18th Psalm, verse 46, the 46th verse of the 18th Psalm. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It's wonderful how the psalmist David, in this particular psalm, beheld the mighty acts and works of the Almighty God for and on his behalf, and how that he subdued all his enemies under his feet. And how that he himself beheld God as the Almighty God of heaven and of earth, and that in all his acts, in all his ways, he was righteous and just. In all his dealings with the wicked. And so it is, I believe, in the hearts of God's people to behold his mighty power in their own pathway through his wilderness. And while it was with the psalmist that God had appointed all his pathway right from the cradle to the grave, and so it is now that all the pathway of God's people was appointed and is appointed for them from the time of their birth to the time of their death. This we believe, that all our times are in his hand, and that there is nothing that comes by chance, since his divine appointments are so deep, for reasons lined us out, yet faith believes that he appoints all things by his determinate counsel and will, and that whatever man may scheme or devise, God will in his own time and way either overthrow it, or at times I believe he may leave to walk a path that is not according to his will. I want to be clear here. Our purpose, that he might make it more clear and more clearly known that he is that one alone who leads in the right path. Man, you know, we read has sought out many inventions, and we might invent many things, but God, who knowing all things is in our hearts, I will surely come and overthrow them. And that for our good, our profit, and also for his eternal and everlasting praise. Well, how the David had to prove these things in the walking of them out. You know, we might look upon David and others in the Word of God and admire them and wish we were like them or more like them. But you know, they were like passions as we are. They were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, which it is perfectly clear with the psalmist David when he sinned an awful sin and caused him to cry out a lamentable cry unto God on account of it. While God is not the author of sin, but you know, there are times when we being creatures of the day, being atoms of dust, and have no power against the mighty enemy, are liable to fall. And so David fell, and fell in that awful place where, had it not been for the covenant of God's grace and his determinate will to save unto the uttermost, David would have perished, and so would you and I. But God being merciful, long-suffering, great in compassion, caused him to suffer. And you know how it was that there were three things given him to choose from. And even with the one thing he did choose, he had to suffer for his sin. And caused him to write that beautiful psalm, "Purge me from within, that I may be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, my friends, you see how he brought forth that confession for sin, from sin unto God, that he would forgive him. So there will be, I believe, when a sin comes upon us, that there will be confession. While the Lord liveth, he liveth to behold those things that are equal. He liveth that he might behold the sons of men on earth. And he beholds all those things that transpire today throughout the universe. For our God neither slumbereth nor sleepeth, and he sees the condition around us. But you know, when we come into God's earthly courts, is it not that we desire to shut the door upon those things that are without, those things that we shall find no encouragement in, while we look upon the things of the world and the condition of it and our nation, and look upon the barrenness and the darkness within us? It'll sink us lower. But the Lord liveth. He liveth to hear the prayers of his people. Yes. And those prayers which he himself will indict. For living prayer is not that which cometh from the lip only, but that cometh from the heart through the lip. That is real prayer. And it will be that which will often be broken sentences, just a few words perhaps. And sometimes you've heard me say before, not even that, but a secret longing in the soul in our secret moments before the God of mercy. When we behold those things, then, within our own wicked hearts, that would sink us lower than the grave, sink us lower and lower, till ultimately we should perish. Well, you know, the Lord liveth. He liveth to hear the prayer of his people. He hears the groans of his elect, says the poet. He hates to put away. So that if you have a case, any of you, with one soul, we shall have a case, we belong to him. If we have a case, he liveth. He liveth to hear our secret groaning. Yes, he hears no groan then that goes up from the soul from time to time. And it'll often be, I believe, at a time when we are weighted down with some particular burden. And I've often thought how utterly impossible it is to forbid these groans to arise. Oh, yes. Utterly impossible to forbid them. That gives us some hope. That is more than coming from the flesh. You know, there are those groans that we might have in the flesh, maybe in pain, the body or something of that sort. But you know, when it comes to the groaning of the soul, we cannot forbid them to rise. The Lord liveth. He liveth to hear those groans of thine. And though he may delay his coming, though he may delay for a season, he will his own time rise up, and then you'll know the truth that he liveth. So he liveth then to hear the prayer and the groaning of his people. He lives also that they may be given that living faith. For faith, I believe, is that live, that which comes through the life of our Lord and Savior. Faith that believes that he liveth. Faith that believes he liveth in heaven above. That his people live through his death and because he liveth. As he said himself, because I live, ye shall live also. So it is because he lives, you and I live in those things which are for our souls profit and good. And these, those who live through his life and know what it is to feel much death. Some might say, well, that sounds contradictory. Well, it may. Only under those who have it will realize the truth of it. Death within thee, all about thee, but the remedy is without thee. Seek it in a Savior's blood. Sinner, you'll never find any life in yourself. The old wicked flesh is death and will be to us continually. And while we look at it, we shall never find any comfort. I've been trying to do this of late, trying to find some comfort, but I find my flesh is whatever it was. It does not alter one iota, only this, that it's subdued. I like to think of that. I believe in subduing grace. And I believe the flesh is subdued, but you'll find it be a burden, sinner, if you have life. It will bring you into that place where you will feel that you carry about with you a body of death. You'll often cry out with the dear apostle, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Lord liveth." I say, "The Lord liveth. He liveth to deliver from this body of death." And what we may feel day by day, He liveth to comfort His people. He liveth so that when you are in these conditions, this time when He comes in His love, when He comes and softens our hearts, oh, where are these occasions of faith, when our hearts are softened to bring us into a condition of repentance and godly sorrow for sin, while He liveth to bring us into that condition. Oh, how we prize these moments when He brings us into real confession, ere we are aware of it sometimes. One had this upon the past week, ere one was aware, He came and gave us confession for sin, caused us to have those sweet tears of sorrow and holy joy intermingled. These are precious moments. The poet says, "Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. Precious drops my soul be doing, from the sinner's only friend. He liveth, the Lord liveth." And this is how we know He liveth, because He comes over all our sin. Well, I believe He liveth then to bring us to confession. And it is at these times His visits of His love and mercy to us that we are brought at the very spot into confession. It's right to venture in confession. We should do as often as we come before Him in prayer, endeavor to confess, but my friends, there's something closer. True confession is that when we are brought into contact with Him and feel His love abound in our hearts and His forgiveness made known, then we confess our sins. Here we say then with the Job, "I am vile," and to feel it and to know, and to be able to say too with dear Job, "I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes." That's confession. So then, to come in confession before Him, we shall learn this truth that the Lord liveth. And He enabled us also to have that love in our hearts toward Him, and to know that He is ours by divine power and the revealing of the Holy Spirit to our souls. The Lord liveth. He liveth among His people. Yes. Where the Lord liveth among a people, there'll be unity, strength, love. And therefore, if the Lord liveth among His people, there will be an overcoming of all the evils that are in our hearts, overcoming all the failings and faults that we have. For none are void of them. Oh, to be able to look in the soul that belong unto God, and to prove even that he lives even amongst his people, and that he not only lives, but in that living among them, it also means he dwells among them, dwells in their midst. Oh, what an unspeakable mercy if we have proved in this little assembly from time to time, that he has dwelt among us, that he's come and given us a little of that heartfelt union in these glorious truths and realities, that so many are left to be satisfied with the outward show of them, be satisfied with just assembling together, as it were, and come as the door upon his hinges. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful truth how God has made a separation betwixt the real and the false. But not to wonder, the Lord liveth. He liveth then in heaven above, where we may come from time to time in all our anxieties and our troubles, in all the pathway through life's journey. If you've got a path, sinner, that seems to be so intricate, so difficult for you to manage, well, that's a good thing for you, if it's like that. The Lord liveth. Bring it to him. I've had to come in days past with many a tangled skein in my experience, especially in my younger days. Oh, the tangled skeins we've had. We've had to come knowing that he liveth with these tangled skeins and lay them at his feet, as it were, and tell him that you can do nothing with it. You've got something you can do nothing with, sinner. Well, you've got none other you can bring it to but to him who liveth. And if you are unable to come and lay it at his feet, and then he should say, be still and know that I am God, I will fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Oh, how those blessed words were spoken to me once at the foot of London Bridge when I was walking over there one night from work, deep in trial and affliction. Be still. It's not easy to be still in trouble, is it? But when he comes and says, be still, you know, the mighty waves then become a calm. In your own experience, so that we know he liveth by those things he has accomplished, by those things he has done. Well, faith believes it. And that living faith is in him because he liveth. So then, that living faith believes that he is that one that dwells above, that sitteth upon no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to thee, but that dwells there, lives there, to hear the groans of his elect, to hear their prayers, and to look upon all their circumstances, all their pathway. And if he's appointed the pathway for you, sinner, he'll give you grace to walk in it, and he'll give you the enablings to walk in it, and then he'll give you light to shine upon it in his own time and way. While through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know in his due season, the hereafter, here on earth that is, in our soul's experience. So if you are walking in a darksome path, you know, there'll be an hereafter. It may be in a few days' time, it may be years, but there will be a year after, that you perceive the way of his life, the way he leads. There were two, you know, who came to a place where two ways meet. And Lot, he chose the way that looked so rosy, as we say in our own language, looked so beautiful, and there were places for the herds and the flocks, and he chose it, but it brought him into Sodom. You know, it isn't always that pathway that looks so good that we should choose, but we want God leading, his teaching, his guiding. And you know how it was, that he had to dwell in Sodom until the day that he was compelled to come out of it. And indeed, God in his love and mercy sent the angel to pull him out of it. Oh, my friends, the depth of God's word, when we see the depth there is in it, that the Lord liveth, and he will make rough places plain and crooked things straight, and he will deliver in his own time and way, according unto his own word, for he is a God that cannot lie. The Lord liveth. He liveth and in the lives of his people. He guides their footsteps, and those footsteps are such, guided in that way which to them sometimes is mysterious. If I may just mention myself here once more, in coming here to Wiltshire, wasn't that a strange path? Indeed. Looked as though, you know, it was going to be almost one overthrow, as it were. Many fears came down here, as I did at that time, you know. Left me home at the mercy of the enemy. Come down here with no employment. And in that condition, I don't want to dwell too long on it, but there was the case. As God forsaken, the Lord liveth. So the Lord liveth. And so it is that the strange designs of God are so deep that we shall never fathom his strange designs, that his appointments are made known in due time, that whereas man proposes, God overthrows it often. He does indeed. Where he lives then in all our pathway. And so it is with all our trials, whether it be in body or mind or soul, these two we have proved that he lives. And have made those trials profitable to us, that we have to say, as we look back upon them, we would not have one thing altered. In all those things he's done for us, in this wilderness here below, we hope we can say, these are the preparing us, we hope, for those things that are before us, the Lord liveth. That we may see him one day where he liveth forever. One said, I should be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. You'll find no satisfaction here, I'm sure. And so it'll be so, I believe, the older we get, the nearer to eternity, the less we shall see in this time state anything whereof we can put our hope, and also we should be able to say with a true heart, vanity of vanity, vanity is all is vanity, and you'll find there you'll want again and again and again made known in your soul that the Lord liveth, where he liveth in the hearts of his people. Yeah. He liveth within. He said to the dear woman, the water that I shall give you shall be in you as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He lives in his people as the living spring. Therefore, there are times when he springs up as that living spring within. So he lives within his people, not in the old flesh, but in the new man of grace, the new creation that he have created. Or how he said, did he not, concerning this marvel not, that I said unto you, ye must be born again, and therefore it is in that new birth, in that new man, there is a dwelling place of the Lord, and he liveth in the soul. Oh, my friends, when I consider the vast, unmeasurable distance betwixt the flesh and spirit, surely we have to know and approve that the flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. And you know, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And the old man ever will sow to the flesh, and he proves day by day he reaps corruption. But the new man, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the new man of grace, sows to the Spirit, and he shall, of that spirit, reap life everlasting. That's the two natures, so little heard of or spoken of today, separated by God, unspeakable mercy that he has done it, made that separation. It doesn't give us license to sin. I know some would say it gives us license to sin. It doesn't, you know. I'm sure we shall never come in that condition to sin that grace might abound. God forbid, says the apostle, that we should sin that grace may abound. It doesn't mean that at all, but there's a separation, a line of demarcation drawn betwixt the spirit and the flesh, between life and death. One is life, and the other is death, you see. So then, there is that knowledge given, the Lord liveth in the new man of grace, and also is that one that liveth to make intercession. He makes intercession for his people continually. He ever interceded for and of their behalf. Oh yes, our Savior rose triumphant from death, and there swallowed up death in victory, for and on your behalf and mine. Oh, what a mercy it is to have even a faith view of that, that death has no dominion over us. You've been singing of it this morning in that beautiful hymn, A Rock of Ages. It had no dominion over us. But we as creatures would tremble at it and fear it. But when we know the Lord liveth, and he's overcome the powers of death, that he had given it a mortal wound, and that he could have no dominion over his people, that when his people are delivered from this tenement of clay, it is then they begin to live that life that shall never die. Oh, the mercy to know that there is a life which shall know no end, that we shall then never have to battle with the things we have to here on earth. Our body liveth to make intercession for us before the Father. Those that were given unto him in the eternal covenant before all worlds is elect. Oh, that word elect. How distasteful it must be that those who have no hope, and one day be very distasteful to those who are alienated from God, those in the world left in it. We're not judges here. I say left in it. To know that, that they must experience it throughout the countless ages of eternity. Never to know that he liveth. Oh, to have again and again and again, then through a life's journey and the few remaining days in the wilderness, to know that he liveth in our soul, that he liveth above, and to have some hope that when the battle's all and victory won, there is a crown of life which fadeth not away. That crown which he gives unto his people, that they may be among those kings that shall bring their honour and glory into the heavenly city, which we read of in Revelation, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honour into it. Oh, to have then this made over to us again and again. Then he says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. So as he liveth, he is also, as the psalmist beheld, the psalmist David beheld him as the rock. Oh, what a mercy it is if he's our rock. That he hath built us upon this sure foundation. No other foundation can be laid than that it is laid. The foundation, Christ Jesus. And then we read by the psalmist, if the foundation be removed, what can the righteous do? But you see, while there are some endeavouring to remove the foundation, that is an impossibility, since he is omnipotent in power, great in might, that one of whom we have been reading of in this psalm, he is that God that is girded with strength and maketh my way perfect. He's girded with strength. Doesn't mean, plus from psalmist didn't mean his way, that is personal. My way perfect. Who is it? Who was his way? Well, why, Christ was his way. Yes. Oh, my way perfect. There's no other way that's perfect but Christ, a living way. Well, there is then is our rock, whereon the church is built. The church which shall endure forever, that is built upon Christ. And then, what does the church consist of other than the living stones in Christ, which are to be gathered ultimately in their place appointed in that heavenly building above? Well, there are those that have gone before us, already gathered. The day will come, sinner, the time appointed, when he'll gather all the remainder, and at last, the last one in his own time and way will be gathered unto himself in eternal bliss, and then the end of praise him and to bless him for all what he had done for and on his behalf, so that he being the rock, Christ Jesus, how he said when he was on earth, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do the gates of hell seem to prevail against you, sinner? I say, does it? Are there times in your experience when they have seemed as though they were going to overcome you? Well, if because the Lord liveth, they didn't overcome you. And therefore, it is because he is your rock. His mercy to feel is our rock. Especially when, in times past, and it may be at present with some of us, have seen to be in a sinking condition. Well, he is our rock, whereon he hath built his church, and where we shall find a sure and certain foundation. So that we can rightly sing that hymn, can we not? You sang just now, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flows be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Oh, what a mercy to have this rock, Christ Jesus, has a solidness in it, isn't there? It's not like the sand which our Savior spoke of. There were those that built their house upon the sand. When the wind came and the storm came and beat and blew upon it, it fell. Oh, what a difference it is but to those who are built upon the rock. Sinner, are you passing through some storm? I say, is there some mighty wind coming upon you? Seems as though it's going to sweep you away from the rock. Does it? Well, you know, it won't sweep you away from the rock, because Christ said he'll liken such a man as the one who built his house upon the rock. When these things came, and that's what it means, the winds that blew and the storms that came upon it, it's the trials, troubles, and difficulties that beat upon you and I as we go through the sea of time. But having been founded upon the rock, you see, we have not been swept away by the mighty waters and the tempests that have come against us. We read in Isaiah, by these things men live, and in all these things, the life of my spirit, they are those very things that give life to our religion. A wonderful thing to have a living religion. Something that's always alive, you know. Not in activity in religion, I don't mean. Plenty of activity today all around us. Not that sort of activity, no. It'll be activity within, sinner, dealing with the God of heaven betwixt our own souls and the mighty God above. That's the activity. Oh, what a mercy it is to be kept from much activity that may be around us today, and be made willing, even as a few people, to be separated from all those things which are so prevalent day by day. I don't want to wander from the truth here before us. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And so to have the knowledge given that there is a life within, and that there is that blessed rock whereon we hope we have a sure standing, and have proved to be in the past to be our help and our deliverer. May God then be pleased to grant I have a living religion, a religion that shall live through time and be acceptable unto God the Father through the Son by the witness of the Spirit in heaven above when time shall come.